Welcome to the show, Mickey.
Thanks, Dave. Good to be back.
Wow, what a day the markets had today. Everybody was down today. Everybody.
Everybody was down, yes.
So what, I mean, gold closed today at 1372 and change. So that's nice for gold. It's on a bit of a ride right now.
It is 6 month high. That's likely mainly safe haven buying with the continued geopolitical situation between the Ukraine, Russia, and the United States. I think that's probably what's really driving gold. Platinum and palladium also hit highs. 6 month high for platinum, although it's backed off a bit, trading at 1477.
Mm-hmm.
Palladium is trading at near a year high at 777, just off its value of 780. And this is likely driven by strikes and ongoing electrical supply problems in South Africa. These strikes have been going on 7 weeks. So the outlook for both those metals looks quite good.
Well, let's talk about copper, too. I mean, it looks to me, I mean, from all indicators, China is really starting to be a real sort of a bull, if you will, on copper.
Well, as goes China, so goes the copper market. You know, they use about 40% of the world's copper every year. But it got hammered again this week, down 5.5%. It's in slight backwardation on 2 to 5 month contracts, which means a somewhat bearish outlook for copper going forward. The specs are just very bearish on it right now. Closed today at 292, that's approaching a four-year low.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, it is China. Industrial output for the month rose 8.6%, off 10% from forecasts. Retail sales 11.8% up, but that's still off 15% from forecasts. So growth is slowing in China. You know, I don't know any economy in the world that can sustain 10 or 12% growth. But the real concern for copper here is it is increasingly being used for collateral for corporate debt. And we had a default last week, which we talked about at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fear is that there's going to be a lot of copper come on the market because it's been stored as collateral.
Right.
And you combine that with a weak yuan down 6.17 to the dollar. That's essentially destroyed an ongoing carry trade in China, that, you know, buying U.S. dollars and using the arbitrage for yuan as a carry trade. But at the same time, the dollar index reached a four-month low today. So all in all, that turn that around, say it's positive for precious metals.
Well, I know in Ontario and in Canada, for instance, we saw growth in natural resource development, but we also saw a huge pushback as well as for manufacturing here in Canada, and we saw some growth there in the U.S. Do you think that's going to affect China at any time?
Well, it certainly will in the long run, I think. You know, it's the world is completely interconnected, and China does drive a lot of what's going on right now. You know, we've had a relatively weak industrial metals commodities market for some time, and that's really responsible for a weak Canadian dollar at about 90 cents and change.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the world's economy is a little shaky right now, I guess, and that's being reflected in what we see in all markets, with the exception of precious metals.
Well, I know that the Canadian exporters love the fact that the Canadian dollar is lower. They'd like to see it actually a lot lower than it is right
now. Sure. So would I, because then I can go to Robson Street in Vancouver and get all sorts of good deals, even with your 12% GST or whatever you call it now.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk oil and gas. We didn't get a chance to talk about that last week. And I know that there's been just a huge boom, not just in Canada, but in the U.S. as well, with regards to fracking and things of that nature.
Yeah, so curiously enough, and no one seems to quite understand why, with all this geopolitical turmoil, and especially, you know, you You got these natural gas pipelines going from the Crimea through Ukraine, so mm-hmm. supplying Europe. But WTI and Brent were both off this week, somewhere around WTI off about 3%. Brent was off 1.5% or so. Today's close, 98 for WTI, Brent at 108. Henry Hub gas was kind of flat all week, although it was down today at 450 mm-hmm. a million BTU. So it's curious to me. I'm going to be casting about trying to figure out some reasons from people that follow oil and gas market much closer than I do. But this whole Ukraine situation has not really resulted in much of a rise in oil and gas prices over the last month or so. Mm-hmm. And personally, I find that curious, Dave.
Well, I know that we here in North America are trying to do everything we can to shore up our own domestic market so we don't have to rely on those foreign markets. But
absolutely.
It does beg the question. I mean, one of the things that came that I noticed at PDAC was there was a large number of fund managers, European fund managers, who were coming over to our side of the ocean to put their money in what they considered safe investments. Mm-hmm. Can we talk a bit about that?
Well, as the geopolitical situation worldwide gets more and more volatile, and we've seen a bunch of countries start to blow up over the last few months, you know, Syria, ongoing thing, and that did affect oil and gas prices, but Egypt, Venezuela, the Ukraine, riots in the streets. People want to go to safe jurisdictions, and you cannot really find safer jurisdictions to put your money or invest in natural resource projects than North America, the good old USA and Canada.
That's right. Well, and that's
we do have security of mineral tenure here,
well,
and rule of law.
And we know that the Chinese have been coming here. I know they bought up quite a bit in the oil sands
yeah.
of Alberta and.
Well, all I have to do, you know, I maintain a second residence in downtown Vancouver, and all I have to do is look out my Cole Harbor apartment every night and see one-third of those apartments, those sky-rises, empty, mm-hmm. and it's owned by, and they're generally owned by absentee landowners from China or Hong Kong, trying to get their money out of China into a safe jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm. Well, and here's an interesting fact, because I know the Canadian government is actually looking at those part-time Canadians, if you will, and they're thinking of measures to try and restrict that. Do you think that's going to affect the availability of cash flow?
Well, I probably am not going to touch that geopolitically loaded question. I'll leave that for Canadians who are much more in tune with that. All I'm doing in that instance is observing. But we have somewhat a similar situation in the United States where you can essentially buy your way into the country by making investments. And I'm not sure I'm really on board with those sorts of policies.
Well, we're halfway through the month of March. What do you see as the big mover right now on the commodities market?
Well, I think the thing that looks best would be platinum and palladium because of these ongoing strikes and problems in South Africa, and then the second largest palladium supplier in the world would be Russia. So that would be of concern. Probably palladium would be my top choice in the commodities business. And another thing that looks pretty good right now, we haven't touched on this, I'll touch on this before we end, is the Venture Exchange Index. Hit 11-month high yesterday at 1046. Now it was off with the other markets, and I think there was probably some profit-taking today. Mm-hmm. Closed at 1030. But we're up somewhere around 15% for the year, so I'm encouraged because a significant portion of my net wealth is in junior resource stocks, and on paper, I'm a richer guy than I was in December.
I think a lot of those folks who take part in the Venture Exchange could probably say the same thing, Mick.
Absolutely, and that's good for us because we've been down for 3 years, and if this bear market ends after 3 years, we'll all walk away and say, that was pretty short when it wasn't so bad.
Mm-hmm. It was less painful, obviously, than what we saw, you know, 5-6 years ago, that's for sure.
Well, much less painful than the mother of all bear markets, which was post-Briex from from April of 1997 to July of 2003, over 6 years. And there was no junior resource sector by the early 2000s.
No, absolutely. Well, we're just about out of time here. Can we give the listeners an idea of what you want to talk about next week? And
we're just going to keep doing the same thing. So we're going to take a look at commodities. We'll take a look at the Venture Index every week. We'll try to pick some hot stories in commodities and whatever the topic ends up of the day. Today it was the Ukraine. Who knows what it'll be next week?
Well, yeah, they're going to be having their referendum, some would call
it. Yeah, very important thing coming up. And, you know, I would take the tactic, it's not very popular, at least with my government policy, would be that, Crimea is Russian. It probably ought to go back to Russia. You know, that was a cobbled together country put together essentially by Khrushchev when he was the premier or whatever of Ukraine before he went up to the to be a big shot in Moscow. And it's a cobbled together country that doesn't really fit. The Crimea does not fit in Ukraine.
No, and you know what? Historians will probably agree with you on that one, Mickey. Real quickly, rare earths. What do you think?
That is so 2011 for me, Dave. That I still hold some of the better rare earth companies, but I'm taking profits as those start to come up. Rare earth business really tough. That was a bubble. We got in early. We made a lot of money. We're still making money on stocks we financed in the pennies and are ranging in the dollar, but I'm not. It's just a really tough business. We still don't see any new rare earth producers, and I don't think we're going to see any in the next few years.
Well, I want to thank you for that, Mick. Now, you're at home, aren't you, today? What's the weather like in Albuquerque right now?
I am looking at all my fruit trees in bud. It's probably about 16, 17 degrees today, and it's going to freeze tonight, and I'm worried I'm not going to end up with any fruit this summer. So, typical spring in the high desert.
There you go. Well, good luck with your fruit, and we'll talk to you next week. Mickey Faulp, ladies and gentlemen, the Mercenary Geologist. You can always go to his website, www.mercenarygeologist.com, and feel free to send Mickey a message. I'm sure he'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, we're real active on Twitter, so tweet us.
There you go. Tweet him at, and your Twitter handle is
@mercenarygeo.
At Mercenary Geo. So again, just follow him on Twitter, folks. He's got a lot of great information that pops up all throughout the day. Thanks again, Mick. We'll talk to you next week.
Look forward to it, Dave.
Thanks again. Well, and always a pleasure to talk to Mickey Faulp. Coming up in the next little bit, Janice Ian. But first, a word from Greg Schatzman. It's finally here.
It's finally here, the new standard for local broadcasting, truly local radio. Bye.